Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. We do pray that you would open our hearts now as we listen to this letter. Amen. Okay, so we find ourselves here at the end of our sermon series in the letters to the churches in Revelation. And we have reached the letter to Laodicea. This is a passionate plea from Christ for his people to repent and turn from their lukewarm ways. It's also a stark warning to the people that if they do not soon change, they will be cast away, spat out from the mouth of God, missing out on his glorious splendor. So we're going to start in Laodicea. And from reading and looking online, we can see that it was a proud ancient city. It was situated on a major communication route. It was a place that thrived and was, by earthly standards, prosperous. The city was a center for banking and was the regional center for the Jewish temple tax. And in fact, in 60 AD, an earthquake completely demolished the city. However, it refused outside help, instead deciding to rely on its citizens and wealthy benefactors to rebuild the city. It was that wealthy. Some of the main reasons for the city's wealth was the luxurious black wool that it produced and traded, along with its renowned medical center, which was most likely famous for its eye salve, an ointment used in healing. Now, I hope you were listening to that carefully, because they will come in handy later on. Now, in verse 14, we see here that these are Jesus' words. So if you look down, we're in page 1236, if you'd like to open up. So in verse 14, we hear from Jesus, the one we find the answer to all of God's promises, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler over God's creation. He is the King of Kings. Here we are reminded of who Jesus is, the ruler over all of creation. Therefore, he is better than creation and all of its stuff. He's the answer to God's promises, the one who is faithful and true. Now, Jesus starts with a harsh but necessary warning to the Laodicean church. And it begins like this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Jesus had looked upon the deeds of the church, and they are neither hot nor cold. Now, unlike in the letter to Sardis, where Jesus saw the deeds of the church and urged them to strengthen the little that remained, their unfinished deeds, we see here that Jesus is highly unimpressed with the people of the Laodicean church. Upon them he has looked, and they are neither hot nor cold. He says, I wish you were either one or the other. Jesus isn't saying here that he'd rather they were switched on to him, that they were hot, or completely turned away from him and they were cold. But in fact, we get the answer in verse 16 and in the aqueducts of Laodicea. You see, just down from Laodicea was the town of Colossae, whose cold springs allowed them to have excellent drinking water. And nearby Hierapolis, whose hot springs meant they had hot water, useful for healing and therapy or cleansing. But in comparison, Laodicea's water, transported through the aqueducts, often came into this proud city lukewarm. It wasn't hot enough for therapy and cleansing, and it was certainly not brilliant for drinking. Now, how many of us here at some point in their lives have been camping? A few of us, I can imagine. Some of us might have managed to escape that torture. If you have, and you've been fortunate enough for it not to rain, in fact, maybe it has been sunny, then you'll know exactly what it's like to have experienced lukewarm water, and how you can understand the reaction here of the spitting of the water out of the mouth. Now, I want you to imagine that your water has been sat in your tent all morning whilst you've been on a walk, or maybe during a morning meeting during a Christian conference. You spent all morning building up a thirst only for you to get back to the tent to pour out this drink that you've been desperate for all morning, whilst the tap slowly drips away water into your plastic camping cup, only for you to take your first sip and it's lukewarm. You want nothing more than to spit it out of your mouth. And this is what Jesus is saying here. The people's faith is weak. They're not producing fruit. Like the water, they're not useful. They're not living lives that are for Jesus, and he is ready to spit them out of his mouth, just like our camping water. In fact, it's probably even worse, because the water here in the aqueducts of Laodicea was highly unhealthy. Now, cast your eyes to verse 17, and we see the heart of the Laodicean people. And it's something that should actually be a warning for us all. It reads, "You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Like the city that was proud and boasted in its wealth, the Laodicean church seemed to be just like its surroundings. They were a proud people. They weren't boasting in Christ, but purely in themselves, in their own achievements. They don't need a thing. They think they've made it. Their God was their money and their own achievements. What they could see around them was what they had their pride in. They didn't see the need for Christ, just like the city didn't see the need for help in the aftermath of the earthquake. And yet, despite their insistence on being rich and in need of nothing, Christ's words are ferocious in combat of this. "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." For a people that believe they were able to go it alone, that they've made it, these words from Jesus will have stung. Getting straight to the heart of their problem. When the ruler of God's creation speaks, you better listen. And here is his solution. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see." Here, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, is offering the Laodiceans a way to turn from their lukewarm ways and find true riches, true sight, and true satisfaction in him. For the spiritually poor Laodiceans, instead of trusting in their earthly riches, they are to come to Christ, who offers refined gold, riches found only in him, refined through Christ, who's rescued us, refined as we grow in our faith, heading towards eternal life. What beautiful, true richness, an eternity spent with our loving Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus. Now, this isn't something that we can buy. We can't earn from Christ these riches. But yet, this idea of buying helps us to see that we should not trust in the marketplace, but in Jesus. We are to turn from our earthly ways and come to him. Next, the Laodiceans are counseled to buy white clothes to cover their nakedness. Remember, these are a proud people who wore the finest clothes. In fact, their famous black wool would have been made into designer threads, which anyone who was anyone would have worn. So, we have a stark contrast here as Jesus offers white clothes. The complete opposite. It signifies a turning once more from the old ways into the new. They are to put on the godly way of living, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, as opposed to their self-centered, boastful ways. They are to take off the ways of the world around them, the black wool, and to put on Christ to cover their nakedness, to cover their shame. Because ultimately, the ways of the world around them leads to shame. They were to cover their pride instead with humility. After all, the culture around them at the time would most likely have shown off the glory of the human body, as was Greek culture at the time, but it was a shameful way to live, giving glory to creation once more and not our Creator who gave us our bodies. The big thing here is pride in self as opposed to Christ. And he wants us to turn to him and be clothed in humility. In the white clothes spoken of throughout Revelation, such as they who in Revelation 7, a little bit later on, who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, making them clean and white. We are made pure when we turn to Jesus. We are justified, and Christ begins his refining work in us. The final item that Christ offers to the Laodicean church is salve for their eyes to see. But what does a medically renowned city need with this ointment? But again, this is just it. Jesus is getting to the very heart of the matter. He's cutting deep to the core. He has highlighted the blindness of these people. To be clear here, he's not talking about their physical sight. After all, surely the great medical professionals of Laodicea, with their ointments and skilled hands, would be able to deal with this. Any illnesses and problems, in fact. But see, the ruler of God's creation has seen the deeds of his church. He has seen their boastful ways. He has seen their lack of trust in him, and his diagnosis is bleak. They are blind. Spiritually, they cannot see. They do not know what is wrong. They are utterly lost in darkness. They're helpless. And so Jesus calls out with the remedy. Come to me and put on the salve that I offer, so that you can see. Not to see their surroundings, not to see all that goes around them on earth, but to see their deep-rooted need for Jesus. To see their shortcomings, to see their pride, and to ultimately see the glory of Christ Jesus, the ruler of creation, and worship him accordingly. That to take their eyes off of creation and onto the Creator, boasting not in their own accomplishments or what they can see on earth, but only in the beauty of Christ who cares deeply for his people. And we know that he does care deeply because verse 19 reads this. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Those whom I love. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. What a message this is for the Laodiceans. What a message for the Christian who knows that they have had their eyes turned from Christ. In amongst the heaviness and home truths, there is hope. There is grace. In rebuke and discipline, there is love. Jesus doesn't speak these words simply to dismiss the lukewarm, but to show them love. He calls them to repentance. He speaks into their proud lives to bring them humility, to bring them salvation, to show them the way of the cross, to show them real lasting treasure, eternal life with the ruler who loves them. They can know that through sincere repentance and admission that things have been wrong, that they've relied on creation as opposed to their creator, that they can turn away from the world and to Christ, that they can join in God's good kingdom. They can share communion with Christ. They can feast at the Lord's table. For verse 20, he stands at the door and knocks. And you can imagine that Jesus is standing pleading with them, saying just these words. The ball is in your court, O Laodicea. I have given you my life. I have in love pointed out your wrongdoings. I have offered you more than you deserve. True riches, eyes that see reality, clothes that are pure and white. I stand knocking, O lukewarm Laodiceans, open the door and let me change your heart. Invite me in and I will spend time with you. Eat with me and you will see that you change. Repent. And let me in, and your lukewarm ways will be transformed. And to the one who is victorious, verse 21, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Christ, in his love, gives a final encouragement to the church. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit on my throne. Jesus again refocuses the gaze upon his heavenly throne. To love him, he is where we find victory, not in our surroundings, in our achievements, in our possessions and perceived success. We are victorious because Christ was victorious. Upon the cross, death defeated, he rose to sit with the Father as Lord of all, and in him we find life. He brings us true riches. Lord, may we never be lukewarm. Have mercy upon us. May we be a people whose eyes are set upon your throne, made strong in your victory, clothed in compassion and humility. May our eyes be open to your beauty, rich beyond earthly treasures. May we be people who live lives of praise for our loving King of Kings. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you love your church enough and care for them to rebuke and discipline them. May we hear the harsh words that we might turn to you. May we take our eyes off of creation and on to you, our Creator and King. Lord, have mercy upon us and help us to live lives that are honoring to you. May we be effective for you in our lives. May we worship you with everything that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.